Matthew chapter 6. If you're familiar with the book of Matthew at this point, this is what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a very special passage of Scripture, and where Christ is explaining some things to his disciples at this point. And we're going to jump into verse, we're just going to read three verses and try and draw some thoughts from that. And then we're going to have prayer meeting after. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Let's read that part again. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how perfect it is. God, thank you that it meets our needs and it leads us and guides us and protects us. And God, as we go throughout our day, may we proclaim it to others. God, I pray as we study this passage out that, Lord, you'd encourage us, that we would serve you for the right reasons. And God, our life would be filled with things for the eternal. God, I pray again that you would go before us tonight. And Lord, I pray that this message would be an encouragement to help us to do right. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we can go extreme if we read this passage. And, you know, I've read or heard people, you know, take this passage and say, see, you ought not to have this, or you ought not to have that. I'm not saying that you necessarily cut, cars, or maybe, is it bad to have a cell phone? No, not necessarily. But we got to be careful where we put our affections towards. It says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And we got to be careful what we deem most valuable. We got to be careful what we establish as the most important thing. God clearly states what is more valuable than other things. In verse 19, it tells us, hey, be careful. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Treasures upon earth. We have to ask ourselves, is that what I do? Is my life consumed with right now, right here? He gives the alternative in 20, in verse 20. He says, "Where our treasure ought to be, in heaven, heavenly treasures." Now that sounds much much better. The treasures here, as nice as they might be, whether it's a nice car. I mean, I like cars, and I think they're neat, and I think they're fast, and I like those ones. And as much money as you can spend on certain things, they're going to depreciate. You drive anything around here, the old rust monster is going to find it. That's what happens. No matter how much you pay for those things, that's what happens. Because things on this earth deteriorate. But God says there's something that you can do with your resources and establish it that's going to last forever. Well, that sounds intriguing. That sounds enticing to me. There's something that we can be involved in that has eternal value. Now, two ways we can look at this, and both are probably correct. By using our earthly resources and turning them into heavenly benefits. So let's just explore that one thought. That is a viable option as we read this passage, that we take the things that we have worked towards, the money that we have earned, the things that God has blessed us with, and we use them. We use those things for God's work. And that's a good thing. That's a valuable thing. Multiple times throughout Scripture do we see where Christ encouraged people to sell what they had and then do what with it? Give it to the poor. Hey, there's something about being generous with the things that God has given you. And we can get that out of this passage. We can look at it and say, yes, that is a viable option. As I take the resources that God has given me, understanding that they weren't for me, they were maybe for somebody else, and we can look at a lot of different passages. But a different direction I want to look at tonight, a thought I have tonight through this passage is, are there some things that we establish that money can't buy? Heavenly things that no money can buy. Those earthly treasures versus heavenly treasures. How about those heavenly treasures that can't be purchased? So what are you talking about? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, just a chapter back. Matthew chapter 5. There's some rewards, heavenly rewards that we could set aside that can't be purchased. You can't go to Walmart and buy an eternal heavenly treasure. Here it says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. What does that word revile mean? It defines it in the passage. And persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you. Look at, hey, there's some times when people can accuse you of things and it's true. Right? Hey, you cut me off. Yeah, you're right. I did. I'm sorry. You were doing 10 under the speed limit, and I just went around you. I'm sorry. You accused me of truth. But there's going to possibility of being evil manner falsely accused of you. And he says, for the purpose, not that you're a fool or not that you're acting wrong, but he says in verse 11, for my sake. Hey, when we take a stand for Christ, there might come some things that are a response to our stance for Christ. We might be accused of things. We might be persecuted. Hey, you might miss out on a promotion. You might not have to have, you might not get all the benefits of the world. But I'm here to tell you in verse 12, rejoice, he says. Hey, let's read that again. Let's think about that. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, he says, rejoice. Rejoice. Say, why on earth would I rejoice when someone's lying about me, when someone's making things up about me, when someone's causing trouble, when I miss out on things? Why on earth would I rejoice? Why would I be exceeding glad? Because he says, for great is your reward in heaven. Treasures. Treasures in heaven. Something that you couldn't purchase. It was an experience that you went through from following Christ. And God says, I know you feel like you missed out on something. I know that you had to forsake some earthly pleasures, earthly benefits to walk with me. But I promise you, there is a heavenly reward for that. You can't buy that. You can't go to Walmart. The new thing is now not Walmart, it's Amazon. I mean, Amazon's got it all. You can't get earthly or heavenly treasures in Amazon. To endure persecution will establish treasures in heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is not peculiar to followers of Christ. This is not peculiar to those that stand for what is right. He says, be glad, because although you may feel like you miss out on something here, in heaven, what would you rather have, Chase? A toy that breaks or a toy that never breaks?
A toy that never breaks.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, everlasting gobstopper. It's never going to go away. And God says, I have rewards for you if you would follow me and endure some persecution, endure some things, stand up for my sake, stand up for what is right. Hey, I got some things on the other side. And we lose sight of that sometimes. All we see is what we're missing. Failing to take into account the treasures in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause... 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that's what he calls it. What is that? That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 11. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Honestly, if we suffered persecution for the cause of Christ every single day of our entire life, how long is that in comparison to eternity? It is but a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, look at, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is that? That's a heavenly treasure. There's something good waiting for us on the other side. But you got to endure. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, that's where we go wrong. We're consumed with what we can see versus what we cannot. It's tough to wait. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. There's your earthly treasure. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God has blessings waiting on the other side, rewards. If we could just do what He said, endure the light affliction, as He so calls it. This is Paul talking. Man, if you read this passage, the things he went through, and then he uses the phrase light affliction. That's extreme Christianity in our eyes. And Paul says, it's just but for a moment. Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, if I lose my life for Christ's sake, He'll make it good on the other side. Enduring persecution establishes treasures in heaven. Number two, Matthew chapter 5. We're looking to establish treasures in heaven that money can't buy. Enduring persecution is one. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 43. Matthew 5:43 says this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That sounds easy, right? I love the Americans. I despise the enemies of America, right? I mean, that, could we agree on that? But I say unto you, who's talking here? Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That they may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, look at this next question. What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He says there's no reward for loving those that love you. Indicating to me that, is God taking note of when we love those that don't love us? Loving our enemies? Is there a possibility that God says, hey, look at that one. He's acting like you, Jesus. He's compassionate towards those that don't like Him. That's real Christianity. God notes it. God establishes it. And there's a treasure in heaven waiting for that. Say, what's that look like? What's it worth? I don't know. But what I do know about the Lord, it'll be well worth it. And just like the song says, we'll probably wish that we had given Him more. Who was the last enemy that you showed some love on? We try and stay as far away from our enemies as possible. How about that guy at work that really undercuts you in it? When was the last time you bought him lunch? Hey, the lady that's spreading gossip about you at the... When was the last time you picked her up Starbucks? When was the last time you sent her a little card and just said, "Hey, I'm praying for you. If you ever need anything, let me know." When was the last time you showed some love towards your enemies? So I don't do that. It's because we're consumed with what we see and not what we don't see. Because we're more concerned about the treasures on our earth than we are about heaven. Because we can see these things. Hey, we're all doing it. We just need a message like this every now and then to remind us that there's something waiting better on the other side. And today was about picture perfect. Low humidity, sunny, 75. Some of you spend it in a cubicle, and I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. Maybe tonight you go out and grab some ice cream. Last time I suggested it was a fasting day. So, good. All right. Not fasting day. Near perfect days. And we look at this and go, it doesn't get better than this. Oh, it does. It does. Actually, we're living in a place that is cursed by sin. And as beautiful as this curse is, can you imagine what heaven's like? And the best that the world has to offer, let's put that in comparison. Cursed earth produces this. And we go, yes, that's what I want. No, no, hold on. There's something better over here. Let's invest in over here. Say, how do I get that? Enduring persecution? Ooh. Loving your enemies? Oh. I'm not sure I want that. Oh, I'm telling you, you want that. Wouldn't it be a shame to take your whole life and invest in something that is gone in a moment with nothing for eternity? Endure persecution. Love your enemies. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Our third thought tonight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, what? They have their reward. That's where it ends for them. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. From what I've studied throughout today, and had some extra time today to study these things out a little bit, from what I study from today, I'm not even sure that's going to show up here today in this earth. That reward might be something to come. But God says, I'm going to reward thee openly. Treasures. Treasures in heaven. For enduring persecution, for loving your enemies, for praying secretly. How much time do we spend alone with the Lord? Say, is that worthwhile? God says it is. I just got to believe that if God says it, then it must be. So how's that all work out? I don't know. God makes it work out. And there's a treasure waiting on the other side. Could we be a little bit more committed? I know it sounds weird. To our secret prayer life? What is it that you're bringing to God, just you and Him? What is it that you talk to the Lord about, just you and Him? Who is it that you're praying for, just you and Him? What is He talking to you about, just you and Him? That secret prayer life. Treasures in heaven. some things that money can't buy. Can't buy enduring persecution. Love your enemies. Pray secretly. And lastly, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You say, what is that? What does that mean? That's doing something for earthly gain. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, look at, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God says there's a way you can conduct yourself privately like the disciples. You know, we get down on the disciples. He just compared it. He said, comparatively speaking, there's some rewards here that you'll get that don't compare to what he can give. He says, I'm going to give them something that they can't lose. Say, how is that possible? Because it's on the other side. Say, does that mean we have a water stand? Look, cold water to little ones. It's meeting the needs of those that cannot for themselves. It's serving others with absolutely no expectation in return. Do you see that? Little ones don't repay. You do it because you love the Lord and you love them. Serving the Lord and others will establish treasures in heaven. He says here, hey, you do something for a righteous man or a prophet, and yeah, everyone's going to see that, and your name's going to get said, and hey, that's your reward. But you find those little ones, you find those ones that can't help themselves, you be kind to them, and you show compassion on them, and you meet their needs, and I'll give you a reward that you can't lose. The only setting I know of that is heaven itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, last passage that we'll look at. Treasures in heaven. Yes, I think we should take our earthly resources and invest them into the work of the Lord. But also, we ought to do things. We ought to endure persecution. We ought to love our enemies. We ought to pray secretly. And we ought to serve others. You know what? That doesn't cost anything. Enduring persecution. Say, well, if I had money, I'd endure persecution. If I had money, I'd love my enemy. If I had money, I would pray secretly. No, you don't need that. You just need the Lord Himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Who then is Paul? They're fighting that they were, I'm of this guy and I'm of that guy. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos and but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, he says. Doesn't matter. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now look at this. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Doesn't matter. They're all taking care of the garden, right? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers, look, together with God. Ye are building, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We're working towards the same thing. And then it goes on to the judgment seat of Christ, explaining those things. Some are going to go up in flames, some, but with a pure heart and with a right motive, there's a reward. There's a reward. In verse 14, it ends with, he shall receive a reward in heaven. So are we involved in it? How much planting did you do this week? How much water? Say, I didn't lead anybody to the Lord. Yeah, but you could plant. You could put seeds. I just read something online. There's this village, I think it's in India. Every time a child is born, they plant 111 trees. I don't know why. That's what they do. Every day, how many souls did you plant? Say, what does that mean? Got the process going. Sir, can I give you a gospel tract, tell you about the Lord? How have you watered? How have you followed up on somebody? Said, how am I supposed to know? Well, you don't. Some are watering, some are planting, and someone are just going to walk by. We have a pepper plant at our house. And we're growing peppers. We thought they were jalapenos, but turned out to be bell peppers. Someone switched them at the pepper plant. That was kind of a pun. So the pepper was growing over the other side, and I didn't like how it looked, and it just didn't look balanced. So I took it and I tried to move it over, but it was already a little dry. So when I tried to move the pepper, snap, it came right off my hand. Ugh. Harvest, early harvest, but a pepper this big. I don't know, Pastor. I just walked up to the guy, and I didn't know this, but his grandmother's been witnessing to him for the last 5 years, and I just came by, and he said, bing. He just came right off the tree. Well, some watered, some planted, and some got to reap the harvest. Doesn't matter. There's a reward for all of it. Say here, there. There. God has some rewards waiting for us that are treasures in heaven. Yes, enduring persecution, loving our enemies, praying secretly, but serving the Lord and others. So what do we do this week? Who did we invite to church? I invited a perfectly good stranger to the church this week. Think he'll come? I don't know. I don't know what the rate is. I don't know if it's 100 to 1, 500 to 1, 1,000 to 1. I don't know what it is. God knows. But I like our invites because not only are they an invite to church, but they also have the gospel. So if he never comes, at least he gets a little bit of the Word of God. Who are we inviting? Who are we talking to? Who are we planting? Who are we watering? And who are we allowing God to give the increase? Hey, I just want to remind us tonight that there's something really good waiting on the other side. That is well worth every bit of our life. Every resource I have. Not just my money, but my time and my efforts and my thoughts. Treasures in heaven.